Welcome to House Call, the podcast where we dive into the do's and don'ts of interior design. I'm your host, Caroline Klein. I'm an interior designer, vintage obsessed, and I want you to love coming home as much as I do. I'm here to give you practical tips and a roadmap to creating a home you never want to leave. Think of this as a coffee date with your interior design bestie. Let's get into it. Hello, my friends. How are we doing this week? Fantastic, I hope. It's such a beautiful day outside, and I wish there was a way to record this podcast sitting out on my back deck, but unfortunately, I don't think that would work very well. But anyway, I have been working on some very fun projects with a few consultations sprinkled in here and there, which I love. They're very fun. I like them, I think, because they're so quick. I always get a little bit anxious before consultations because it requires like thinking on the fly and troubleshooting while somebody is watching you, which can be kind of stressful, and like while you're seeing a space for the very first time. This is obviously a creative field, and there are tons of different ways to make a home beautiful or a room beautiful. But since you're meeting someone in their space for the first time, you don't know every single detail about their life yet, so it can be a little bit nerve-wracking. But ultimately, I think they're super fun, and we get a lot of stuff done. And a lot of times, just having somebody see your space with like fresh eyes for the first time is often exactly what you need. Like sometimes you just need somebody to look at your living room and be like, huh, maybe you should just move the sofa over there or add a couple end tables here, and you could do a lamp over here or add wallpaper or whatever. And it just takes somebody coming into your space for the first time for them to acknowledge what needs to be done to improve it. So that's what I've been up to lately. But moving on to what I have been loving this week, I literally cannot believe that I have never talked about this before because I'm obsessed, but press-on nails. The vast majority of people listening to this are women, I believe, and to the few people that could care less about their nails, I apologize. You can probably skip forward like 30 seconds and I will be done talking about it then. But I have been loving press-on nails pretty much since forever. I have cared about my nails. I just love having them done. They make me feel pretty. They're always painted and it just makes me feel put together. Plus, I use my hands a lot. I feel like they're always in pictures or pointing things out to clients or something. And I like my hands looking pretty. I just don't want them looking crusty and gross when I'm pointing something out to a client. So it's just important to me. But even though I love having my nails done, I loathe going to the nail salon. I just think it takes forever. It's expensive. And I have other things I would rather be doing. And if that's your thing, I totally support you. Pop off. You do what you need to do. I personally just don't find it particularly relaxing or fun. So enter press-on nails. I have been using the Olive and June ones. I really love them. They're $10. They last me 2 weeks and I don't have to worry about them chipping at all. I'm obsessed. Okay, moving on from nails, even though it's a topic I am clearly very passionate about. This week we are going to be talking about chairs, which is so thrilling, right? I actually do think it is. I love interior design and architectural history because I feel like it just tells you this story. You're able to see modern furniture in a whole new way when you understand the history behind the pieces and the trends that you're seeing. Plus, when you have this knowledge, you're also able to see when pieces are more authentic than other versions, which means you end up with a more high-end look. So today, I wanted to go over some of the most iconic chairs in recent history. There are obviously so many that I couldn't possibly cover all of them, but these are just some of my favorites and some of the ones that really stick out to me in the last, like, 150 years. These chairs have really stood the test of time, and you still see them all over the place to this day. So as you listen, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just quickly Google what the chair looks like. I'm going to describe them, but it's kind of hard to describe some of these chairs super accurately, so a picture might just help you. And then next time you're wandering through a cafe and you spot one, you will feel so accomplished, you're going to feel so intelligent, and it's just going to be so fun. Okay, first up, let's start with an easy one, the Eames lounge chair and ottoman. This is a chair that I'm pretty sure a lot of you would recognize. Fraser Crane had one in his apartment on Fraser, so you might be able to spot it from there. This is a chair that was designed by Charles and Ray Eames in the 50s, and it is an absolute icon of mid-century modern design. It has this curved walnut shell that's really sleek, and then you can purchase it upholstered in tons of different fabrics. But I would say the most popular and the most iconic is a black leather paired with this like curved walnut. It's so beautiful. And this chair was a really big deal, and it still is to this day, because it was a big experimentation. The Eameses were big on experimenting and using new materials, so the curved wooden shell is pretty revolutionary. And what's great about this chair is it has a really relaxed feel. It kind of like sits back so you can really lounge and then put your feet up on the ottoman. And it is still so popular in contemporary interiors. Because of this, there have been so many reproductions of this. I think you can probably go on Wayfair and find a knockoff for like under $1,000. But the real deal is still made to this day, and it is wildly popular, and it will run you about $8,000. Next up, let's talk about the Wassily chair. This chair was designed by Marcel Breuer in 1925. It has this kind of tubular steel frame that's often chrome looking. And then the arms and the back in this seat are all made of like leather straps that are sort of suspended from the tubes of the frame. It's considered one of the first modern chairs, and it feels very contemporary. And it's inspired by the frame of a bicycle, which will make sense once you see a picture of it. I think you'll see that kind of bicycle influence. And the Wassily chair was created from the Bauhaus philosophy of form follows function. So it's very pared down, pretty minimalist, and very geometric, I would say. And these chairs are still super popular nowadays. You often see black leather with the steel frame, but I actually really love like a cognac leather or an ivory leather with this chair. It just feels a little bit softer and warmer, which I think is a nice contrast to how modern and almost severe the frame looks. And this is another instance where there are lots of reproductions of this chair. A reproduction could cost a few hundred dollars, but the real deal is about $3,000 per chair. Another modern iconic chair is the Barcelona chair. This is another one that I think a lot of people would recognize. It has a chrome steel frame, and if you look at it from the side, it kind of looks like an X, and it's wide and low. It doesn't have any arms, and then it has a tufted seat and back. I really encourage you to look this up because I don't feel like I did a good job of explaining what that looks like. But this was also designed in the 1920s, and you see still a lot of it today, 100 years later. And it is still such a symbol of sophistication and contemporary design, even now. I feel like I often see the chrome frame with the black leather seats, but again, I kind of like the cognac leather or something similar. It just feels a little bit less severe. It just feels a little bit warmer to me, which I love. But the black is super iconic and beautiful nonetheless. You can get a reproduction of one of these for around $1,000, I would say, and then the real ones are about $7,000 retail price. Next, let's talk about the egg chair. And what the heck is an egg chair? It is exactly what it sounds like. It has a base that's shaped like an egg. It has a higher back to it, so it sort of cocoons you inside when you sit inside. It was designed by Arne Jacobsen in the 1950s. And this chair sits on a pedestal base and it swivels too, which is nice because, like I said, it sort of cocoons you in. So it's nice that it has this swivel because a lot of your like view range is blocked by the chair. These chairs feel really modern with these really clean curvilinear lines to it, and they come in tons of different upholstery options. I saw one in a cow print when I was doing research for this, which I think is so wild and fun, and I would love to incorporate that one day into a design. These chairs were originally designed by Arne Jonsson, like I said, but they were designed for the SAS Royal Hotel in Denmark, which is now a Radisson Blu. The hotel itself is like very rectilinear, lots of like sharp angles, 90 degree angles. And that's what I think is so great about this is he designed this chair that has all of these curvilinear lines and is like egg shaped to contrast all of those really clean, harsh lines. And this is still such an icon. When you see one of these chairs in a space, it feels like such a focal point. Your eye will be immediately drawn to this chair. I think because of the shape of it and the height, your eye just will immediately go there. You can buy one of these chairs from the original manufacturer for about $10,000 to $15,000 retail, depending on the upholstery that you choose. But there are also reproductions out there for a few grand. Okay, next one is one of my favorite chairs from this list, the Turner chair. The Turner chair is a chair that has kind of this molded plywood shell. It looks, the molded plywood shell kind of looks similar to the base of the Eames lounger shell, if that makes sense, but it's a dining chair. So the shape of these always reminds me of a ginkgo leaf. They have sort of that triangular shape to them, and the back is shaped like that, and then it tapers down at the waist, and then it has these really thin legs. There isn't any decoration or embellishment on this chair, but it's very sculptural and curvilinear, and I think they're so beautiful. And the armchair version has these thin arms that sort of extend from the back of the seat and curve a little bit in this really pretty way. I would encourage you to look up a picture of it if you don't know what I'm talking about. My favorite finish is the walnut, but it does come in black, and I think different reproductions do lighter woods in the same shape, but in like a birch tone. I see these a lot nowadays, and I am not mad about it. They're super pretty, and I love them in a modern space. I've also seen companies make them into a bar stool version, which is interesting, but this is an example of recognizing that when it's in bar stool form, it isn't authentic. Obviously, this is not the end of the world or bad at all, but it just immediately kind of gives away that it isn't an authentic Turner chair if it's in barstool form. But anyway, a Turner chair is around $1,000 each, and then reproductions are just a few hundred dollars. Okay, moving on to the Panton chair. The Panton chair was designed by Werner Panton in the 1960s. What a fun name, Werner. And this is a really sculptural dining chair that is made of one piece of molded plastic, which is really interesting. It has a kind of fluid wave-like look to it, where it has this one solid piece in the back, and then it flows into the seat, and then it curves down to create a stable base. It's kind of hard to describe this, but it looks a little bit like a wave, and it has this really glossy finish. It was one of the first chairs to be made out of one piece of plastic, and it kind of became this total icon for pop art in the 1960s, which is fun. These are also still used a lot today in lots of different colors. I would say most often you see them in this white, in this really glossy finish. And I think the appeal is the sculptural quality to them. They look really balanced because they're made out of one piece of plastic that all just flows together. If you want to buy an authentic one, they're about $500 a piece. But there are also these really cool reproductions where designers have taken the shape of the Panton chair, so that sort of wave-like look, which is very iconic to that chair, and then done it in a rattan or a cool upholstery or leather or something, rather than the classic plastic. And I just think that this is so cool and fun. The shape of the chair gives it a more modern flair to a traditional space while still using a really classic material. Okay, next I want to talk about the Thonet number 14 chair. This is also called the Ton 14 chair, and it is a really classic bistro chair that was designed in the mid-19th century. I would say 99% of you guys have probably seen this chair. You might just not have been paying attention. You see them a lot in cafes and restaurants, and it is very classic. It's a dining chair with four legs, and then it has a pretty open back. And the back is bent wood, and then the seat is circular. The seat is often either wood or cane, which is really popular nowadays in these chairs. And they're made out of beech wood, and you see them really commonly, I would say, in black or a dark stain. Nowadays, they have them also in like a lighter, more birch-looking stain that gives it a bit of more like modern Scandinavian flair. And this chair is a really big deal because it was one of the first chairs to be manufactured by bending wood. They created a way to make these by using steam to bend the wood, which allowed for mass production, which also means affordable, while still being really beautiful and a little bit sculptural. Like I said before, they're really timeless and have really stood the test of time. You see them nowadays and they look just as good today in interiors now as they did back then. And even Pottery Barn sells them, if that tells you just how popular these chairs are. Okay, finally, let's talk about the Louis Ghost Chair. This one is so fun. The Louis Ghost Chair is a transparent chair that was inspired by a Louis XVI design. It has a kind of medallion-shaped back and then curved legs, and it looks a little bit more ornate and traditional in shape, but the whole thing is translucent polycarbonate, so it's totally see-through. It was designed by a guy named Philippe Starck in 2002, so really not that long ago, but it kind of became this instant classic because it added this really modern twist of the polycarbonate, the see-through polycarbonate, to a very historically inspired design. And because of that, people love to incorporate this into both modern and really classic designs. I think my favorite way that I've seen this is in rooms with plenty of traditional details. I also love when it's contrasted with enough warmth and wood because I just love that balance with how modern the material is. And these bad boys, authentic ones, cost around $1,000 each, but there are tons of reproductions out there that cost just a couple hundred dollars. Okay, I don't know about you guys, but I have loved this episode. I loved getting to research it and narrow down my favorite iconic chairs and get a little refresh from classes that I've taken on these subjects. There are just so many iconic chairs throughout history, it's hard to choose, but I hope you looked up pictures of them as we went, and maybe one day you'll be in a cafe and you will see a Bentwood chair, or you'll go into a doctor's office and you'll see a Barcelona chair and you'll feel so cultured and accomplished. If you have any comments or questions, I'd love to hear from you as always. Feel free to shoot me an email or send me a message. Otherwise, I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.